Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Ethan. Let's go to Proverbs 24, please, tonight. Proverbs 24. I'm just going to read one verse, so just go ahead and remain seated tonight. Read this one verse and have a word of prayer. Verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I want to preach to you tonight on the day of adversity. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help. Lord, I pray for your strength and your grace and your wisdom. Pray for your Holy Spirit power, Lord, in spite of me, in spite of us and our weakness, our flesh. Lord, I pray your Spirit would fill us, fill this place with liberty, with power, with wisdom and understanding. Bind Satan, Lord, please. Remove all distractions, God, for your honor and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The day of adversity. I wish I could tell you, as your pastor, that adversity never comes after you get saved, but I'd be a liar. Adversity, you know, is if there's some definition, but synonyms would be trouble, calamity, affliction, anguish, distress, tribulation, etc., etc. Any and all a combination of all of the above, right? At the root of the word adversity there in verse 10, we find the word adverse. The word adverse means contrary or going in a different direction. Kind of like petting a cat in the wrong direction. The adversity is when something or someone is opposing you some way. They're working, or the situation, or the person or people, for that matter, are working against you. Yeah, right. When you're trying to get or go in one direction, something is constantly pushing you in a different or backwards. Adversity. In the Bible, you know, if you think about it, if you just stop and ponder for a minute, there are many examples of people who had their day or days, multiple days of adversity. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. In the beginning, we know that Eve even had adversity. Satan, God told her do this, Satan told her to do that, and it was adversity. Abel was Adam and Eve's son, younger son, and his adversity was his own brother, Cain. You remember that? I mean, all he did was serve God and do what was right as a righteous young man, and his own brother, adversity, literally took his life. You remember Abraham? Abraham had a nephew named Lot, who their cattlemen, their herdsmen had much strife, and they could no longer abide in the same land. He had much adversity there with his own nephew, again, a family member. Joseph, you remember the young man Joseph when he was 17? Yeah. His brothers, all but one, of course, he had a younger brother, Benjamin, but his older 10 brothers sold him into slavery, left him for dead. They despised him, his own brothers. All he was doing was obeying his father.
Yeah, amen.
All he was doing was obeying his dad, trying to go help his brothers. And they, of course, you know the story. That's adversity. You remember Moses. Moses had quite a bit of adversity. First, he had the wilderness to learn to watch those sheep for 40 years. They said, what's the adversity there? Well, the adversity there would just be the long, lonely days, the hot, dry wilderness, the smelly sheep, the fact they weren't even his sheep. He's just a shepherd for his father-in-law. Then, as if everything was going to get better, then God, from the burning bush, said, okay, I'm going to put you in the ministry, boy. Now you're going to go start preaching the gospel to Pharaoh. There's no adversity there, right? No, of course not. Pharaoh, no, let my people go. No, let my people go. No, let my people go. No. And it's that's adversity after it. So then, okay, God got him through that. Then here comes about 3 million Israelites, grumpy, spoiled. They don't know how to follow directions. They're overwhelmed with the wilderness. You know, just, I mean, 40 years, 40 more years of adversity. Dearly beloved, Moses had a life full of adversity. Joshua, as soon as he took the helm, they crossed the Red Sea. That was adversity. God got them through that. But then there was a Jericho of adversity. There were 7 days of adversity there. I mean, 6 days and then seven times on the seventh day. But not that wasn't only the beginning of the adversity for Joshua. He got into the land of Canaan, and it was one battle after another battle after another battle of a bunch of people who just did not like God.
Yeah, amen.
You know anybody like that? They just did not like God. They did not want God's people coming into their land. And Joshua faced a whole lot of adversity. Then you remember later on, as you go through the Bible in your mind, you go down to jump down to the book of Ruth. You remember a lady named Naomi? Her own husband sojourned in the land of Moab. That just for a quick trip, because there was no bread, there was a famine. So he decided, well, we're just going to get out of the will of God because it's too hard, and we're going to go over here to Moab, and we're going to just spend a little while over here. Well, she's just following her husband. In the meantime, he dies.
Yeah.
Both of her sons die, and she becomes a very bitter, angry woman. Adversity.
Yep.
Adversity. You remember a man named Gideon. That God said, "Thou mighty man of valor." And he wasn't really much to him that any of us would have seen. But God said, you know, you're facing adversity. These Midianites that keep robbing you and taking all your food and destroying all your crops. I'm going to use you, young man. I'm going to use you and 300 men. To face a 300,000 men army. But don't worry, the adversity, I'll take care of it. It was, you remember a man named Samson. He faced a lot of adversity with the Philistines. The jawbone of an ass. And he was not a very godly man, but he still faced a lot of adversity because he was handpicked of God. David.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, David, the first adversity David faced was a man named Goliath.
Yeah.
A giant man named Goliath. You know, isn't it interesting how adversity is not adversity because it's smaller than you. It's adversity because it's bigger than you.
Yeah, amen.
It's larger than you. It's more powerful than you are. It's adversity, and it's pushing you in the other direction. And then, and not as if that wasn't enough, then it was King Saul. King Saul trying to kill him. Amen. The man that he was ministering to, trying to kill him. Elijah. Remember Elijah, a king named Ahab, the most wicked king Jerusalem ever had. And then his wife, though, was even worse.
Yep.
Jezebel. Jezebel. And then Jezebel had Elijah on the run wanting to die, right? Because it was adversity. He faced all of those prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel. He faced the famine. He faced a little widow lady. Then he had to face Jezebel. He was in adversity a lot. Then Naboth, remember Naboth? Ahab, the king, wanted Naboth's vineyard. Naboth said, "You can't have my vineyard. It belongs to me. It came from my fathers." And boy, Ahab went home and cried, and we know that. And then Jezebel again had Naboth murdered, and it was adversity for Naboth all the way. But he's in heaven now.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. He's in heaven now. Nehemiah, boy, he faced a lot of adversity, didn't he? You remember he faced a man named Sanballat, some Tobiah, Geshem. And as if that wasn't enough, there was a whole city in Jerusalem there full of very carnal Israelites who had intermingled and intermarried and become basically a big melting pot of paganism, really. And Nehemiah had to deal with that as the they made him the governor. And so then, of course, there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had to face adversity with Nebuchadnezzar. And then you go over to the New Testament, you got the disciples. Right, they had faced all kinds of adversity. Remember that one night they're out there on the storm, and on the sea in the storm, and the Bible says they were rowing and they were rowing and they were rowing, but the winds were contrary. That's a perfect example of adversity. I'm trying to get my boat go this way, and the winds are blowing me the other way.
Yeah.
Contrary winds, and I'm rowing. By the way, I'm working hard. I'm struggling, but yet I can't get anywhere.
Yep.
That's adversity. And it goes on and on and on. I mean, not to mention the Apostle Paul. I mean, he faced adversity, I think, pretty much every day from the day he got saved until the day he got lost his head for Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, we look at this verse here and we read this and you think, well, that's a no-brainer. Yeah, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. But listen, God is not wasting words here. There's a message here in this one little verse. Now just a few things here. Number one, quick, just notice where the if is placed. The if is placed in on the response of the adversity. In other words, the if is not placed on the adversity. So the first thing God's trying to tell us here is adversity will come.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
I don't think I have to convince you of that. Most of you already know that. Some of you are in it right now. Some of you have already been in it. And I promise you, I don't know, maybe except for Taryn, everybody in here knows what adversity is personally. And it's not something I wish I could tell you, but you're not going to be able to escape it. You're not going to be able to get away from it. Adversity will come. There's no ifs about that. The second thing God's trying to teach us here quickly is that the responses to adversity are going to vary.
Amen.
How you respond to adversity is where the if is. In other words, some will faint. But some won't. So listen to me tonight. What I'm saying here is we can learn from this verse that you don't have to faint in adversity.
That's right.
You don't have to faint in adversity. There are other choices. There are other options. You can make it through the days of adversity. That's what that if is all about. In other words, not everybody's going to faint. They will come, the days of adversity, but you don't have to faint. You can make it. Okay, the next thing God's telling us here is that the reason people faint is due to a lack of strength.
Yeah, right.
This isn't deep, is it? But if you'll think about it, these are pretty good thoughts here. Fainting, by the way, doesn't mean, you know, like, oh, and I swoon and I fall down. That's not what it means, okay? What it means is I grow weak to the point of stopping.
Yeah.
I'm going one way, and that wind's blowing me the other way. I'm trying to get something accomplished, build a wall, and Sanballat and Tobiah are trying to pull me off that wall. I'm trying to serve the Lord, and adversity is trying to push me back into the world.
Right.
To faint means that I get weak to the point of I just stop trying. I just put down the oars, I quit rowing, and I let the wind blow me wherever the wind wants to take me. I let the adversity take over. Yeah. That's what fainting means.
Yeah.
See, it means to let go of your grip.
Yeah.
To let go of your grip. It means to become idle. I'm no longer going to do this. It basically means, dearly beloved, you quit your race, you throw in the towel, you give up the fight, and you go home.
Yeah, amen.
Now, but listen to me. The reason people faint is because of a lack of strength.
Yep.
The reason people faint, but we are learning tonight. I'm trying to keep this positive, understanding that, listen, not everybody has to faint.
Yeah.
Adversity will come to everybody, but you do not have to faint. You do not have to choose to faint. That's not what God's trying to say here.
Amen.
What God's saying, though, and also is number four, just a quick introduction thoughts here. With greater adversity, we need greater strength.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
with greater adversity. Can I tell you, when you first get in, get saved, and those of you who are called to preach, and you think the Bible institutes adversity right now, and it is. It's going to press you. It's going to push you. It's going to make you lose a little bit of sleep. It's going to make you work harder than you were before. But listen to me. If you'll get through it, when you'll get through the adversity and God puts you into the ministry, don't worry, greater adversity is coming.
Amen.
And you'll need greater strength. Amen. Now listen, does God want us to faint?
No.
I mean, come on, of course not. God doesn't want it. So why does he allow adversity?
Yeah.
Think about it. Here's the answer. It's pretty simple, but we're going to look at it to show us why does God allow adversity? Because he's showing us how much strength we have or don't have.
Yeah, amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He's showing us how much strength we have, or more, better said, he's showing us how much strength we need.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
How much more strength we need. How much lack of strength that we really have. Have you ever heard of the term acid test? In the late 1800s, gold prospectors and banks and those who were trying to sell the gold and trade the gold, and they used nitric acid and they put it on the gold or the different metals, and it would burn everything but the gold. Okay, it would burn up the metals. It would burn through the metals, eat through the metals, really acid, but yet it would not go through the gold. So it would separate the valuable, the gold, from the metal, the rocks. The day of adversity, dearly beloved, is God's acid test in our lives to show us where we're at.
Yeah, amen.
It's God's acid test to show us what's really in us.
Amen.
It's God's acid test to show us, hey, what you're really made of.
Yeah, that's right.
And so why is that important? Well, listen, I believe we can all agree that we need more strength.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, none of us is going to raise, I got all the strength I need. Yeah. Now, that's ridiculous that you're not even, if you say that, you're not listening. But God shows us through adversity that we need more strength. God shows us through adversity that we're not as strong as we might think we are.
Amen.
That's
right. Amen. So, Let's ask ourselves another question. Why then does our strength get small, or in some cases never grow? You understand, there's a lot of people who you'll see them today, you'll see them in 10 years from now, and they still have no strength as a Christian. They never grew. Why does that happen? Why is it that some people, they had strength one day, but it seems like their strength has grown or gone backwards? I'm telling you, let me point out the obvious here. Strength takes exercise.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, try.
Okay, now, strength takes exercise. This verse is not referring to our physical strength, but the principle is the same. Our physical bodies need physical exercise to get stronger. Amen. You spend time in the gym, you spend time walking and running and exercising, you will be stronger than someone who doesn't.
That's right.
Yep. Amen.
Now, it's the same principle today as I go through this quickly. Spiritual exercise strengthens our spirit.
Amen.
Spiritual exercise gives us spiritual strength to face the spiritual days of adversity.
Amen.
Now, that's what we're talking about. God's not talking about being able to beat up somebody with your fist. We're talking about spiritual adversity here in our lives. So, number one, quickly then, speaking of exercise and spiritual strength and adversity, how do we gain more spiritual strength? Number one, we're talking about walking with God.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
And I think right here is probably where the number one reason that people don't last through adversity.
Yep.
Walking with God. Let me read you some verses here tonight. I'm just going to read them to you. Just listen. You might want to jot down the references. But listen, God is our strength.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
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 That's right.
God is our strength.
Amen.
Yep.
Psalm 118:14 says, "The Lord is my strength and song."
Amen.
Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God and my strength, in whom I will trust." 2 Samuel 22:33 says, "God is my strength and power." Isaiah 12:2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength." God is our strength. Psalm 73:26, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart."
Amen.
You know this one. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which" what? "Strengtheneth me." Strengtheneth me. And I also want to share something with you. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." What does that mean? That means before Christ, we had no strength. Before you're saved, you had no strength against the spiritual adversity. Oh, there is no strength outside of Christ. There is no. And I'm talking about God being our strength, but you can't get to God except through Christ.
Amen.
And so when I'm in Christ, I'm saved, I'm born again, but I can have a personal, very intimate relationship with God. God is our strength. So, if God is our strength, and He is, and He lives in us as Christians, and He does,
Amen.
Then we should never lack strength.
Right.
Yeah.
But we do.
Yep. Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Why? Because we don't walk with Him.
Yep. Amen.
Spiritual exercising. We don't let His Word fill our hearts.
Right.
We don't let His Word fill our hearts. We don't spend time in prayer with Him, casting the cares that are adversity, the adverse cares, things that are weighing us down. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." You know what He's saying there is, look, you just need to come to me when you're facing these times of adversity. It's not a secret, but we need to cast those cares upon God. We need to cast the things upon the Lord that are weighing us down. The stresses and the troubles and the trials and the heartache and the burdens, we need to give them to God. Amen. You can't do that without spending time with God in prayer.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen.
We don't ask God to fill us with His Holy Ghost.
Yep, that's right.
I mean, do you, you don't have to say yes or no, but just honestly in your own heart, do you ask God, "God, I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit today. I need you to give me all of your Spirit. I yield myself to thee completely. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I give my body to you, a living sacrifice. I yield my heart and my mind, all that I am, all that I have, all that I ever will be. Lord, I give it to you today. You fill me. Don't let me get in the way. You fill me." Because listen, God is our strength.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
We don't ask for grace. We don't ask for strength. I mean, you know, it's okay to ask God, "God, I need your strength to face the adversity that's coming today."
Yeah, amen.
We've got to learn, understand that God is our strength. It's not what God can do for you. It's simply spending time with Him. Okay, spend time seeking His presence. In other words, just spend time getting into the presence of God.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, have you ever really just, "I don't want anything, God. I'm not asking you for anything, God. I need many things, but I just, Lord, right now, I just need to know that I'm in your presence." You say, "Well, He lives in my heart." But you know what I'm talking about. Knowing and being in the middle of His glory is nothing like it in this world, and it will give you strength beyond measure.
Amen. right.
Just being in his presence.
Amen.
You spend time seeking his presence, because his presence is his glory, his power, his face. Spend time seeking him. It's a very well-known psalm. Look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, this is why I try to get you to sing in church.
Yeah,
and this is why we sing in church, because singing opens up the gates of heaven and lets God's presence come into the church service. But listen, don't miss this. You know, you can do this on your own too. In your personal prayer closet, your secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Boy, that's in his presence right there. But to come into his presence, sing.
Amen.
Sing. I mean, you say, well, I don't know all the songs. You know the songs. You know something by now. Surely you know something that we've sung by now. Okay? Victory in Jesus, at the cross, at Calvary, power in the blood. I mean, good night. His name is wonderful. Jesus loves me, the B-I-B-L-E. It doesn't matter. Just open up your heart and begin to pray. That praise invites his presence.
Yes. Amen.
Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Again, we're talking about God, just him. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates. That's his presence. With what? Thanksgiving.
Amen.
You need to spend time singing, praising God, and you need to spend time thanking God. I'm talking about getting into his presence.
Amen.
I'm talking about, you know, when I pray many times, you call me what you want to call me, but I envision, and it's not anything weird. I just envision scripture. I mean, gates and courts, and I envision myself on the outside of the castle, and so I just do what Psalm 100 says. I have this memorized. I quote it to myself at least weekly, but many times in prayer I quote this whole chapter, and I just envision myself on the outside of the castle, and God's palace is in here, and I want to get in there. Well, if I'm going to do it, here is the formula.
Yes. Amen.
I mean, it's not weird. It's just straight out of the Bible. Right. But I don't want to be on the outside when he's on the inside.
Right. Amen. Amen.
I don't want to be out here when his glory and his power and his presence are in here.
Yeah.
I need God.
Amen.
I'm not worried about what he can do for me. I know what he can do for me. I know what he's already done for me. Right. I just want to be in the fullness of his presence.
Yeah.
Because God is our strength.
Yeah, man.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Again, into his courts with praise. See, I'm getting a little bit closer now. I'm going through the gates. Then I'm going into the inner court.
Amen.
Into his throne room. Come boldly, therefore, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. Come boldly, therefore, into his throne room of grace. Listen, let's turn over and look at it. Hebrews chapter 4. You need to see it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, 16. Let us, therefore... Well, let's read 15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our adversities. Jesus knows what it means to face adversity. And he says, we don't have a high priest that doesn't understand that. He was in all points tempted. He faced all the same adversity that we face, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, since we're saved, because we have to come through Jesus, let us who are saved and have that high priest, Jesus Christ, we can come boldly. All that means is with confidence.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean with arrogance. That means with confidence. That means I have no doubt that I am welcome in the inner courts of my Father. Father. There's no doubt. I know it because I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have the high priest Jesus Christ. That veil is rent and twain from top to bottom. I can go into the Shekinah glory of my Heavenly Father because the Bible gives me the privilege and the right to go in there. I have the boldness. I don't have to worry whether or not I'm welcome.
Amen.
Praise God. I go into that throne of grace. That's the integral. Well, that's the throne room, brother. Hey, man. I don't know if you've ever been there, but you need to go.
Amen.
If you, some of you are bored, stiff, because you ain't never been there. Your mind's on something else. But if you've been in that throne room of grace one time, you want to go back.
Amen.
You'll never want to go anywhere else. You'll never want to fall short of getting all the way in there, because that's where we obtain mercy.
Yeah.
Amen.
And find grace to help in time of adversity.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen.
Need.
Yep.
It's not because he's going to do something for us. It's simply because I'm in his presence.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Makes me want to go pray right now.
Amen.
If you're saved, you have these same promises.
Yeah.
If you're saved, you have the access to this throne room.
But
how many of God's people spend all their time on the outside of the castle when here is God's presence, our only strength?
Yeah, amen. Amen.
And here, but we're trying to fight the adversity outside here somewhere.
Yep.
Because we will not walk with God.
Yep. That's right.
We won't pray. We'll pray. I mean, God, please, God, do this, do this, do this. Okay, God, I got to go now. No, but you won't spend any time getting into his presence. Thanksgiving, praise, boldly, just spending time getting through your so-called the things that God has given us to do, getting over your flesh and over your pride and over your selfishness. And casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and coming into that throne room and realizing the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, they're not in me, but they're mighty through God, through the power that God has, pulling down strongholds, getting rid of adversities, giving me victory over things that are trying to push me away. God is our strength.
Amen. Amen.
God, this book, this is not a book. This is the Word of God.
Yeah, right.
Prayer is not something that I do so I can get what I want out of the vending machine. It's getting into the presence of God because God is my strength.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
But people don't walk with God.
That's right. Amen.
Christians don't walk with God.
That's right.
Too busy. I'm too burdened to walk with God. You're too busy to walk with God. You're too distressed to walk with God. God is waiting there saying, here am I. I'm your strength. I'm your salvation. I'm your hope. I'm everything you need.
Yep.
But we won't walk with God.
That's right. Yeah, amen.
We've got too much to do.
Yep.
Now we know the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit will never leave us nor forsake us. And thank God for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But we all need to be reminded, personally reminded, of his presence.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not just in our mind, but I'm talking about where our spirit is filled with God.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
When God says be filled with the Spirit, that means we can be.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, when you go back in the Old Testament, they dedicated the temple, the house of God, the first one. Solomon built it because Daddy David gave him all the equipment and the supplies, and Solomon built it for the glory of God and did exactly, by the way, exactly what God told him to do.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Amen.
You ought to try that. It makes a big difference when you do it like God says. And he built it exactly like God said and didn't try to cut corners and didn't try to find somebody else's advice. He just did what God said. And you'll be amazed how much difference that makes. And he got that temple built. And boy, he prayed that prayer. And then the Bible says that the glory of God filled the house like a cloud. The priest couldn't even get in because there was such a presence of God in that place.
Amen.
You know, there used to be churches, revivals, old-fashioned camp meetings, tent meetings, and old-fashioned God-fearing men and women who prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed until the glory of God fell down on that place. We are too busy now.
Yeah.
We don't walk with God.
Preach. Yep.
I mean, the drunkards were getting saved, and the harlots were getting saved, and the drug pushers were getting saved, and the worst, wicked, most evil man in the whole town was coming to Christ. I mean, bar rooms were closing down. Cantina stores were no longer selling liquor. Why? Because God's people walked with God.
Amen. Yep, that's right. Amen.
How much time have you really spent with God? Not, oh, I read my Bible. No, no, no. I said with God.
Amen.
When you're with God, you know it.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, some of you told me before, you know, we've had some special services here, thank God for it. And some of you have witnessed and testified while God really showed up in that service. You know when God is there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, amen.
And you ought to desire and long for that in your personal life because God is our strength.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
And here's what happens, though. When I was little, when I was growing up on the mission field, my dad, of course, you know, is a pilot. Most of you know him. And he still flies, but I spent a lot of time flying with him, and we would walk into the hangar where the airplane is parked, and we would see, I mean, the hangar would be large enough for two or three airplanes, and high vaulted ceilings, and boy, that we, you know, even the plane itself is taller than I am, but we'd get in, and I'm just a little kid, you know, we just get in the airplane, and then we taxi out to the runway, and we take off, and then I look down at that big hangar, and it's about that big.
Right.
Yeah, amen.
Now, wait a minute. Nothing changed.
Yeah.
But listen to me. You know what changed? Is the distance between me and that hangar.
Uh-huh. Yeah, amen.
See, every one of you would say, yes, I know God is my strength. I know God is greater than anything in this world. I know that greater is he that's in me than anything that's in this world. But yet, you're so far away from him.
Yeah. Oh, preach. Yep.
He's not changed. You're just so far away.
Right.
That when you need him, he's just a small speck somewhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And adversity comes, and your strength is small.
Right.
Yep.
Small.
That's right.
Because you haven't been close to God in a long time.
Amen.
You haven't been in his presence in a long time.
That's right. Yep. Amen.
Church is just something you do.
Great. Come on.
You're just a Christian because you don't want to go to hell.
Yeah. Oh,
great. And I don't either.
Yeah, amen.
But you know, what are you going to do when adversity comes if that's all God is to you is a fire escape from hell?
Oh, great.
That's right, brother. Come on.
Yep.
Well, God's not blessing me. God's not taking care of me. When's the last time you were in his presence? You wouldn't care about that.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, amen. Amen.
God's people don't walk with God.
Yep.
He hasn't changed. He's still humongous. He's still vast, enormous. He's still the creator of all the universe. Yeah, I mean, amen. Just look up at the stars one night, amen. Away from the city.
Amen.
And look up at the stars on a clear night. And God hung every one of them, and he knows every one of their names.
Amen.
Don't tell me that he's not big enough to help you through the adversity that we face. But the point is, we're so far away from him that our perspective of him is so little He can't help us like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Because we're not in. But when we get in that throne room of grace, though, we see the glory.
Yep.
We see the power. You say, well, how's that going to help me, preacher? Well, listen to me. All I need is to be reminded of the real living presence of God.
Yep.
And give me a squirt gun. I'll charge hell.
Yeah, amen.
How is it that you stay? How is it that a preacher can stay on the top side of all of his adversity? How is it that the preacher can keep preaching when people keep hating and falling away? How is it that one Christian can make it through so many things, but another Christian falls off every time somebody sneezes? What's the difference? Somebody's walking with God and somebody's not.
Amen. That's right. Yep.
That's the only difference, folks. It's not that there's something special in me or somebody else that you can think of that you know, boy, they've been through a lot and they're still going. No, that's not the point. Our only strength is God.
Amen.
But if you don't walk with Him, you're not going to have any.
That's right.
It's not going to happen. Our strength grows and our strength becomes what it needs to be. God will always have enough to match and to meet and to overcome any adversity you face.
That's right. Yep.
But can I tell you, without that, that's about all you think of God.
Yep.
Yeah, he's, at least I'm not going to hell.
Yeah. Preach.
That's all God is to you? At least I'm not going to hell.
Yeah. Preach.
I'm telling you, folks, we don't walk with God. We're not exercising. We're not strengthening our relationship with God. We don't know God. We don't really even understand what I'm talking about right now. Right. You're looking at me with cross-eyed, like, presence of God, glory of God. What do you mean? That's because you've never been there. That's because that's why your strength is so small.
That's right. Amen.
You say, preacher, can that really happen? What do you mean, can that really happen? Is the Bible true?
Yeah.
Enter into His gates, enter into His courts, come boldly into His throne of grace. Does God say, yes, it can happen.
Amen.
He's not talking about when I get to heaven.
Yeah,
He's talking about right now.
Amen.
Through prayer.
Amen.
Walking with God. Getting alone with God and not leaving that place until He shows up.
Yeah. Amen.
And you'll know it.
Yep.
Amen.
Some of you, I feel sorry for you because you've never, never been there.
Sure.
But you can be.
Amen.
Like I said a minute ago, the verse says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, which means you don't have to faint because your strength is God and He does never faint.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Amen.
You got to walk with God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Y'all still okay? Listen, I'm trying to help you. Don't get nervous and angry because listen, I don't want you to faint.
Amen.
I mean, I don't want you to faint.
Amen.
Go back to Proverbs 24. It says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." You probably know it by heart now. It's a good one. Memorize. We should have memorized that. But anyway, we got to walk with God. He is our strength. Look over with me. Number two, quickly. That's the main thing, though. If you don't get that right, you might as well forget the rest of it. But if you got that right, let's look at the next thing here. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29. The way of the Lord is what? Strength to the upright. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Not only do we grow through walking with God, we've got to walk in righteousness.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, I understand if I walk with God, and I walk with God like I should, and I spend time with God in His presence, iniquity is not going to really tempt me as much as it used to.
Yeah.
But understand something. When you get along with God, and you spend time in His presence, you know, reality is I can't stay there all day.
Yeah.
Okay, so I go out. I go out into my life. I go out into my day, and I begin to face adversity. My strength is more than it used to be, but then I'm tempted to do right or to do wrong.
Yeah.
And the Bible says in verse 29 of Proverbs chapter 10, the way of the Lord is strength. To the the way of the Lord, obviously, is the way of uprightness, of righteousness. But the destruction or fainting is going to be to the workers of iniquity.
Right.
Walking in righteousness is walking in the way of the Lord, walking in the will of the Lord. If I'm not, look, I'm going to end up working iniquity. I'm going to end up in sin. Sin does nothing to me but make me weaker and weaker and weaker. If I don't walk in righteousness, I'm going to be walking in iniquity. You see, there's no in between. If you're not doing right, then you're doing wrong. There's different decisions we have to make every day, but there's right and there's wrong. There's no gray area like so many people think.
Yeah.
It's right or it's wrong.
Preach.
But if you don't walk in righteousness, you won't have the strength that you need to face the adversity. If you don't walk in... Listen, sin is a poisonous like a viper. Sin is stubborn like a mule. Sin is cruel like a bear. Sin is destructive like a canker worm. Sin is unclean like a wild dog. Sin is cunning like a fox. Sin is fierce like a wolf. Sin devours like a lion. Sin is filthy like swine. It will never do anything but make you weak. Weak. Look at Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. If I'm going to not faint in the day of adversity, my strength has to be greater than the adversity. Isaiah 41 verse 10. I've known this verse. You probably know this verse. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. That word dismayed right there is the same as the word fainting. Be not dismayed. Be not weak. Don't let go. Don't give up. For I am thy God. See, God is our strength. Look, I will strengthen thee. Who's going to strengthen me? God. Yea, I will help thee. Who's going to help me? God. How is he going to help me? I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The word dismayed there, like I said, is the same word as fainting, being weak. God says he will strengthen us with the right hand of his righteousness. The right hand of his strength is righteousness, church.
Amen.
Don't fool yourself into thinking, well, I spend time with God, but then I go do my own thing. I mean, for one thing, you're not spending time with God if that's your attitude.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
But it's still possible if you walk with God and then you're just in the middle of a big valley, a whole lot of adversity, a whole lot of trials. I mean, just overwhelming amount of trouble. It's still possible that you find yourself in the middle of such a heated battle that you find yourself tempted to do something wrong instead of something right. You're finding yourself a shortcut. Thinking you're going to get out of this valley quicker if you go around it. Every time we do something we know is wrong, and I don't care if it's anything. You say, well, is it that hardcore? Is it that big time? Listen, you just, if you know it's wrong and you do it anyway, you tell me, is that righteousness or unrighteousness?
Yeah.
Is that rightness or is that iniquity?
Yep.
Come on, preach.
We make ourselves weak.
Amen.
Yep.
We make ourselves weak. Now, you can justify it, and I do. Everybody else is doing it. Nobody will ever know. And you know what? You may be right.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever know, but you're making yourself weak.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Sin debilitates. Sin weakens you. You may not feel like it's that big of a deal. Listen, you may not even feel guilty because you're so overwhelmed with burdens.
Yeah, amen.
But listen to me, it will do nothing but make us weak.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And then here comes the acid test. God starts pouring acid on, and you realize, oh, my strength is small.
Yep, that's right. That's
Because you're walking in unrighteousness. You're doing things that you know. Listen, sin is nothing. Nothing good will ever come of sin.
That's right.
Yeah, amen.
You got to walk with God.
Amen.
And you must walk in righteousness. And finally, you say, well, preacher, I walk with God every day. And I know some of you do. You say, preacher, I never intentionally do, you know, just go out and sin. And I know that. There's some of you sitting here before me tonight, and you say, check, I got those two right. And praise God. Praise God for it. But here's the third one that we need to understand, and then we'll go home, is we must walk in faith.
Yep.
Faith. See, some people walk with God, they live clean lives, but they still find themselves very weak in adversity. And you may be one of those people. When adversity comes, I just turn to Hebrews chapter 11 quickly. You know the verse, I can quote it to you. Verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But look at the rest of the verse. We know that part, but look at the rest. He that cometh to God. Okay, now, I'm coming to God because I need His strength. I'm coming to God. I must believe that He is. Okay, we must believe that He is. But look what the rest of it. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
See, God wants to reward you. God wants to reward us simply for seeking Him. We're not trying to fix things, or not trying to find the answer, or not trying to get all of our bills paid. I mean, we have needs, don't get me wrong. But God says, just seek me. Just be diligent about seeking me. What does diligent mean? You do it daily. You do it all the way. You do it thoroughly. You don't let anything come between you and seeking God.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
He says, I'll reward you. I'll give you strength. I'll give you power. Because He is our strength. But what I mean here is that we must rely upon God when we do get into His presence, and we realize, hey, nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. The adversity's still here. The winds are still blowing.
Yep.
You've got to have to believe that God is still God.
Amen.
You're going to have to walk by faith.
Yep.
You're going to have to keep doing right. You're going to have to keep walking with God, keep doing right, and walking in faith. What I mean is we rely upon God by faith. Listen, without fear.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Without fear. Fear and faith don't coincide. They don't coexist.
That's right.
Fear and faith can't coexist. God does not give us the spirit of fear. So if it doesn't come from God, then it can't coexist with the things that God wants to reward us with, like strength and faith and grace and mercy. Fear and faith don't coexist. They don't cohabitate.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Fear robs us of the power. Fear robs us of the strength that we need in the day of adversity. Are you with me tonight?
Amen.
Remember Abraham. Abraham feared the Philistines, what they might do to him. So he lied. He did wrong. He lied about his wife Sarah.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
And God scolded him.
Yep.
Because he was wrong. He didn't have strength. He lied out of fear. And listen, you have fear. We all do.
Right.
But in order to have the strength that we need, we got to walk with God, walk in righteousness, and walk in faith. When we realize, okay, this is God's will, this is God's way, this is the way of righteousness and truth, I'm just going to trust God without fail and without fear. It's easy to say, I know that. But you need to understand it's desperately necessary in order to not faint in the day of adversity.
Amen. That's right.
Faith. Elijah, remember Elijah, man, great man of God. What a man of God he was. But yet his fear of Jezebel had him out in the middle of the wilderness asking God to kill him.
Yeah,
amen. That's right.
There was no strength there.
Yep.
His adversity took him all the way down to being suicidal.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
Fear.
Yep.
You remember the disciples? I mean, they were on the rowing. The contrary winds were coming, and they went as far as accusing Jesus, Master, carest thou not? They're accusing Jesus of not caring about them. Yeah. They're accusing Jesus of not fixing the problem soon enough. They're accusing Jesus of not being good enough to fix their problem. Listen, you don't want to find yourself in that boat. Right. Oh, you're accusing Jesus because your fear has made you faint.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Amen.
I mean, if you remember, Peter was so afraid of the crowd, he did not even know Jesus.
Yep.
Like so many Christians do every time they go to work.
Oh, great.
Listen, I'm out of time. So how do we? There's three simple things to increase in your faith.
Amen.
Pray. Amen. Again, ask God to increase your faith.
Amen.
Luke 17:5, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Ask God, increase our faith.
Yeah. Yep.
And then number two, you need to be around the Word of God, hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
Reading it, I mean, but listen to me, you can read it out loud.
Yep.
You can hear it. Faith cometh by hearing, Romans, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to be around hearing the Word of God, like services like this. But you can also read it yourself. Read it aloud. That's how Jesus defeated the adversity in the wilderness after 40 days of fasting. He read the Word of God out loud.
Yep, that's right. Amen. Yeah.
But here's one that maybe you're not aware of. Turn to Romans chapter 4, and I promise we're done. You've got to pray and ask God for faith. You've got to be around the Word of God, heard, the spoken Word of God, hearing, and then you need to obey.
Yep.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 4. Let me show you this, and then we'll go. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Being not weak in faith, we're talking about Abraham, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but notice, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, that's what faith is, fully persuaded. You're full of faith. Fully persuaded that what he had promised, his word, he was able also to perform. What am I saying there? Without going into great detail, but I want you to understand, Abraham and Sarah did what any husband and wife do in order to conceive a child.
Sure.
Are you listening to me? It wasn't just miraculously put in Sarah's womb like Jesus was in Mary's womb. What these verses are saying is that Abraham, even though he was 100 years old, he did what God said he had to do because he did not waver. He obeyed. In other words, if I tell Abraham and Sarah, if God tells them you're going to have a child, well, the obvious thing is they're going to have to conceive that child.
That's right.
Yep.
The child was not miraculously conceived. The only miracle about it was the fact that they were so old. But they had to go through the process, if you're with me tonight. They had to obey.
Yeah.
That's what these verses are talking about. He staggered not. He kept doing what he had to. He had to obey.
Amen.
See, you will not obey. Your strength and your faith, and you're fully persuaded, you won't. If you don't walk in faith, you won't obey. And if you don't obey, you won't have faith. It all works together.
Yep. Amen.
It all works together. The Bible says you need to be doers of the word, not hearers only, thereby deceiving your own selves.
Yep.
You're not going to have any victory in adversity when you just hear it and you don't do it.
Amen.
Okay, faith is going to grow when I obey the word of God. I do what God says, and then I see God's hand work it out.
Right.
I see him do his part, and then guess what happens? I believe him more next time.
Amen.
You see, why was Abraham so quick to take Isaac up to the mountain and say, okay, God, I'm going to put him on this living burnt offering up here on Mount Moriah. I'm going to kill the promised seed. Why was he so quick? I mean, he got up early the next morning and he did it. He went and he did not hesitate. Why? Because Abraham's faith was to the point now he knew that what God said was going to be true. He knew that he could trust God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
See, you just do what God says, and it will exercise your faith, and it will increase your faith, and it will strengthen your faith, and then the adversity comes, you'll walk in faith, because you know God can, because God has, and God always will, and that way you'll have the strength that you need to get through it.
Amen.
You don't have to faint.
Amen.
We need more strength, don't we?
Amen.
I mean, we need more strength, but God is our strength. We must walk with Him. We must get in His presence. When is the last time that you knew you were in the presence of God?
Yeah, come on, preach.
Amen.
He's our strength, folks.
Yeah, amen.
Walk in with God, walk in righteousness. You can't live a life of sin and expect to have strength in adversity. That's foolishness. And then you walk in faith. I do what God says. I trust God. I believe Him. I don't let fear control me. I promise you, you'll see strength that you've never had.
Amen.
You won't wonder how other people make it anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
You won't wonder. Can I invite you to open your hymnals, please? I don't know if y'all know this song or not. Page 329. Let's all stand together. Let's sing. This is a wonderful old song. Page 329. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Wonderful song. Burdens, adversities, lifted at Calvary. Page 329. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary. Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Let's sing the third verse. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Sing that chorus now. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. 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 Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Listen, Jesus doesn't want you to faint.
Amen.
I don't want you to faint. You don't want to faint.
Amen.
The day of adversity is going to come. Amen.
Yep.
But you don't have to faint.
Amen.
There's strength enough for every trial. Father, I pray you bless this invitation now. I pray that, Lord God, we do business with you. Lord, I pray that we'd be honest with you, Lord God. We all need more strength. Lord, we all need to walk with you more faithfully. We all need to spend more time with you, our source of strength. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us, Lord, some time at the altar, even now, Lord, to begin, Lord God, to ask you for more strength, to ask you for more grace, to help in time of adversity. Bless your people now as they do business with you. In Jesus' name we pray.